How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. With me, as usual, is Leonard. My name is Chad. This is a show about wrestling, and lately we've been talking about a lot of older stuff. But this week, we are going to be talking about a couple events that are more current, at least in the past month current. We are going to be talking about the state of AEW. Now, anybody that has been a longtime listener of this show knows that Leonard doesn't watch hardly anything new unless I request that he does. In this case, he requested it, but...
Yeah, because a while back we did stupid questions, and one of your questions to me was, why is something you would change, alter, delete about the current pro wrestling? And I said I would just get rid of AEW, which I only said to get a rise out of you, which I knew it would. But then it came out, yes, I haven't watched any AEW since the first year, but I do keep up with things, you know, clips online and news items and podcasts to talk about it, so I have a general idea of what's going on. So I was going to watch it Summer Spectacular, but we get HBO Max through Amazon Prime. I don't know if that's the reason, but I couldn't, like, watch it on delay. I either watch it live or I don't watch it. So I was able to catch the July 9th episode of Dynamite, which was the go-home show for All In Texas, which I did not watch All In Texas because that was a pay-per-view, which I wasn't going to pay for, and it was 6 hours long.
Right. Well, I did watch that, and I'll be commenting on that. The July 9th episode of Dynamite took place from Garland, Texas. And as Leonard said, it was the go-home show. Now, Leonard, I'll be honest with you. When you requested... When you said you were going to watch this, and then based on the conversation we had after we got off recording last week, I'm a little bit apprehensive coming into this, knowing that we have different opinions.
Yes.
Let me just come out and say, was there anything that you liked?
Yes. Okay. So we can start with what I liked. One, I will say I understand it was a go-home show, and I think they did that very well. Every segment, every match, every interview, everything was all about hyping the pay-per-view, you know, and building to those matches on the pay-per-view. They did that great. I like the announcing. I don't think you need Tony Schiavone. I would get rid of Schiavone.
Sometimes they have four-man booths. Like sometimes when Don Callis comes out, he commentates. Yeah. Sometimes I think MVP has done it, like, a few times. Like, so, yeah, they like, the three-man booth is, like, kind of commonplace in wrestling these days, maybe less so in WWE. They have two guys, I think, now. But yeah,
I thought Excalibur reminds me a lot of Mike Tenay. So it would make sense that he has a good chemistry with Taz. And because he knows all the names of the moves and all the background and everything, and just his delivery, he reminded me a lot of Tenay. So, I mean, and Schiavone was fine. A lot of times, like, late WCW era Schiavone got on your nerves because everything's the greatest thing ever in the history of everything.
He's changed a lot.
And he has changed a lot. I just don't think you need him because Excalibur can do everything he can do.
I think that – and I don't – disagree. I think sometimes the chemistry is weird. I think that AEW has almost kind of put the third man as like a legacy role. Like and at the pay-per-view, like, I don't even go over this when I talk about pay-per-views here, but like, they switch out people throughout that third man. Like, sometimes it's Nigel McGuinness, sometimes it's Taz. Sometimes it's Tony Schiavone. At the end of the All In Texas, they brought out Jim Ross, you know, after all of his health issues for two things. So it's like, I think they like doing that kind of legacy voice just to have them there.
Okay, but I was fine with that. My favorite match of the night was Samoa Joe versus Wheeler Yuta. It was because it told a story. Everything else to me was a spot fest. That told a story. It was Joe saying, oh, this is a nobody. I'm just going to toy and play with this guy for doing it. And then Yuta starts to come back and starts looking good. And Joe's like, oh, crap, this guy's better than I thought he was. And I got to shut him down. And then that's when that Coquina Clutch comes out. So that told a story. So that was my favorite match of the night. So that's positive. My favorite segment of the night was the MJF and Mark Briscoe in-ring paper.
The talkie talk.
Wednesday is talkie talk and Saturday is whip ass night or something like that. I wrote that down.
Something like that. Thankfully, MJF came right now.
That should be on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Saturday is ass whipping day. Wednesday is talkie talk day. And then MJF had a line, you can feed your 97 inbred children shoe leather and chicken feed. See, one, it was funny, but at the same time, it was also a segment that helped to build tension. Both these guys know how to talk, but in very different ways. So their contrast was actually a good contrast, and they had good chemistry with each other. So I thought it was fun. I thought it was also, you know, a good build, and I just liked them. I also liked Toni Storm. Now, I knew what the Toni Storm character was, but this was my first time kind of seeing it, and I could understand where that would maybe grate on my nerves week to week. But I did really like, well, I went on from the Briscoe MJF promo. So anything on that you want to say before I jump to Toni Storm?
So yes, MJF has been a great talker in wrestling for his duration in AEW. I think he proves it on a regular basis. I did not anticipate him having a exchange with Mark Briscoe, but he did. And I thought it was very good. I think Mark Briscoe is in a good spot at AEW. He's kind of solidly in the mid card. I think the fans like him there. I don't know that you're going to see him rise to world title status. He does a lot for the ROH brand for them as well. So I thought it was very funny. Anytime you have those two guys in the ring together, it's going to be funny on some level. So.
Oh, and I jumped ahead a little bit to Toni Storm. I did like her character. Like I was saying, I could see where that might grate on my nerves from week to week. But, you know, the look, the outfit, the hair, the black and white, the butler, the way she talks in this sort of very fake, grandiose way. Yeah. I liked. And, too, I know that she does work in swear words and innuendo and talks about having sex with Stan Hansen and all this crazy stuff. But in this promo, she was very, you know, eloquent, and she didn't swear till the end when they drink the champagne, and then she tells Monet, "Eat shit, bitch."
Right.
Like, that got a pop because she didn't cuss throughout. She didn't talk innuendo throughout, and that helped. Now, counterpoint, I didn't like Mercedes Monet here at all. She seemed a long way away from when she was Sasha Banks. She just seemed kind of out of it. And was just kind of talking in circles and talking cliches. And at one point, she got the days mixed up, saying it was going to be a Sunday show, not a Saturday show. And got some fucked up chants. So I don't know if that's typical, but I was kind of surprised by how, again, love Monet, love Storm, give her an A. Monet, I would give like an F. I didn't think she brought much of anything, at least in this segment.
So Toni Storm is probably one of the bigger success stories in AEW. If you wanted to like cite examples of like who did better when they went to AEW, certainly she would be among the top on that list. Mercedes Moné was already a star when she came in, and they've continued to build her as a star with the amount of belts that she has. The one thing that has not changed with Mercedes Moné, whether you're talking about WWE or AEW, is her promo ability. She has never been very good on promos, and I don't think she's very good now. What saves her, and you know, some people would even say, myself included, that the CEO chants and the music is even a little annoying. What saves her is when she gets in the ring. She can still bring it as well as anybody else. But yes, I agree with you. Whenever she has to talk, it's always like a, how's this going to go type.
Now, I don't remember her talking a whole lot in WWE. Do you think that AEW is giving her more talking opportunities and therefore it's more pronounced that she's not good?
Maybe a little more, not egregiously so. I think that, I would probably put it about the same, maybe a little bit more, you know, in AEW, because I think, you know, in WWE, certainly I'll admit this, they would have more people backstage to recognize, okay, this is not one of her strong suits. Whereas in AEW, you know, other than Tony Khan and the people we know that are the EVPs, I don't know who else.
I do know that Madison Rain is working with the women's division.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, again, as you know, I kind of know Madison Rain a bit personally, although it's not like I talk to her every day. But the last time I did talk to her, she was, you know, sort of as a player coach. I don't think she wrestles much anymore, but she was working in a backstage capacity. So those are the things that I like. So there were things that I did like about the show. Of course, there were some things I didn't like.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Which I go into some of those. I mentioned that the Joe match was my favorite. Most of the other matches felt like spot fest to me and very same to me. Every match had the exact same sequence where wrestler A would get knocked outside the ring. Wrestler B would do a suicide dive onto them. And most of these were multi-man matches. So wrestler C would then do like a moonsault or a splash from the top rope out onto the floor. And then wrestler D would do something crazy out onto everybody. And that was in every single match. Even in the Joe match, they went to the floor. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like it was very specific. Like it was like, you know, 2 minutes floor, back in the ring 2 minutes or something like that. So there was a lot of that, like keep it in the ring.
Right.
At least, you know, some going up to the floor sometimes is good, but not every single match should have that same exact going to the floor sequence.
Right. Well, yeah. So I would say that there is those elements you mentioned, you know, kind of trademarks of the matches certainly exist. I would say they exist in both companies right now. I guess I notice it less so in AEW, although I certainly, when you mentioned some of the spots that you did, I certainly see that they're in, you know, a lot of the matches. The spot fest thing is kind of what I like, so I won't disagree with calling it a spot.
Yeah, well, again, and if you like it, you like it. Right. You do, I don't. So that's a negative to me, but not necessarily negative to other people.
Right. So that, yeah, that's why I say, like, I can certainly see that that point of view. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they do a lot of the suicide dives. They do a lot, and the when it's a multi-man match, you can bet somebody's going to do moonsault out to the outside. So yes, those factors certainly exist, and I think that the inability to change up the style on a regular basis, I think it's more pronounced to us as wrestling fans in both every company because mm-hmm. it's so front and center every week for us that, like, we see, okay, this is what this guy does every time. This guy does something similar every time. Whereas, like, before in the 80s, 70s, whatever, like, Ric Flair, people like that, they were doing a lot of the same stuff, but we didn't see it all the time. So it wasn't quite as pronounced. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And two, I would say, and you may disagree with this too, is I think there was a little more of improvisation in the 80s. You know, it was more calling it in the ring and calling it on the fly more than today. Because a lot of times too, it seems like, especially with my least favorite match was the women's match. The four-way women's match, I thought that was very botchy.
It was.
And the pacing was kind of off, and I don't think maybe they had worked a lot of four-way matches to know what they were doing. But a lot of times, it was like two women doing, like, working with one other one, and then the fourth woman just stood on the apron and waited for her cue and went like, okay, and then got in and did what she was supposed to do.
Yeah.
So it seemed like there's more scripted, more, oh, I'm waiting for them to do A so I can do B type of stuff.
Yes, and I can't comment on what WWE does lately, you know.
Yeah, again, and I will say before you go on, you know, we talk about the sameness, and when we watched the WWE pay-per-views this year, we noted that too. I think it's a different style of match, but again, every match is the same over there.
Yeah, so when I watched the event and I saw the women's match, I noticed that it was, you know, a bit on the sloppy side, and I was like, you know, Leonard will certainly notice.
Yes.
You know, I like Megan Bain. I think that she has potential. But yeah, that was not the greatest match on the card for sure.
And I liked a lot of the characters. I thought the women had character and they had cool outfits. And I've seen Queen Anamata in person. She's wrestled in Marietta, Ohio for a company down there. So I've met her. Very, very nice. As you can imagine, the Dan Weber, our close personal friend, got pictures with Queen Anamata.
Outstanding.
Outstanding. We took some pictures with her, and so I've seen her, and like, here's the thing too. I was gonna ask you, what are they doing with Ring of Honor? Because Ring of Honor would be perfect for like an OVW NXT kind of developmental league. Take these people, maybe who have only had indie experience, and send them there to work and get better before you bring them up to the main roster. Because it seems like most of the people who I liked, Tony Storm, Samoa Joe, MJF, Mark Briscoe, they all had experience elsewhere before AEW. Not all WWE. MJF was in MLW and Briscoe was in the old Ring of Honor. So it just seems like the people who I really don't like really need some seasoning.
So ROH for them, it's like if you have the app, you can watch the events.
Maybe I'll download it and check it out.
It's about $10 a month. You know, I've had it before and then I've kind of canceled it or whatever. I don't want to say that they build stars on a regular basis there. Some of the people that work there stay there. Other people are starting to move up. One of them performed at All in Texas, and I'll get to that. I don't want to say it's exactly like NXT, but it pretty much is
okay.
The version of that, in that if they don't have room for some of the people on the two shows that they do, you know, they might have room for them there. They still stick to a lot of the belts that Ring of Honor have always had, the Pure Wrestling Championship and so on. There's people down there that are unknown. Then sometimes they kind of filter up. It's not a consistent thing. But.
Okay. And maybe they should make that more of a consistent effort. Yeah. Last thing I'll mention that I hated, this is the thing I hated the most, was the overrun. So the main event was fine. You know, it was an 8-man. Everyone got in, got their stuff in, a lot of quick tags. The match itself was fine. I was fine with the match. So the match is over. Moxley is choking Paige out with the chain. The Death Riders are keeping all the faces off. It's 10 o'clock exactly. It should be Tony Schiavone saying, hey, you know, we're desperately out of time. Come watch the pay-per-view. Go to black. No. Show keeps going. So we cut outside to Swerve Strickland destroying the Young Bucks stretch limo, which was hilarious. I loved the limo. I'll give him credit on that. It was funny. He destroys the limo. He looks at the camera. He says, whose house is it? And everyone yells, Swerve's house. And he walks off camera. Okay, end of show. Nope. Keeps going. So the Young Bucks run out. And this is a pet peeve. The one of them said, I will never recover from this financially, which is a line from Tiger King. However, commentary established they didn't buy that limo. That they used company money to buy the limo. It's not their money.
Right, true.
So that drove me nuts.
Yeah.
And then they come out and Swerve jumps in and they all fight. Okay, end of show. Dope. We cut back inside where everyone is still fighting. And then Paige kind of gets Moxley off of him. And then Paige just sort of starts wandering around the ring like, are we still? Oh, okay. And then they just like fade out.
Yeah.
And I looked and it was 7 minutes that they did not need. And I get, they have a 7-minute overrun for the same reason Spinal Tap's amps go to 11.
Right.
You know, it's because we can. Because
right. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it's because we want it. But in that instance, I don't, like, if the match had continued past, then I would have been more okay with that. But the fact that we were at an ending point, it's like, you know, we're movie guys too. You've seen movies that hit an end and then keep going for another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it drives you nuts and it brings down the movie. So to me, that really kind of brought everything down because it was all this stuff that we didn't necessarily, I don't think, needed.
Right. So yeah, a lot of times it will be the match that goes overrun. And by the way, they do the overrun pretty regularly.
Yeah, I thought so from things I had seen. Yeah. And again, if it's the match and you kind of build to it and you're like, oh, you know, again, that's the idea of, oh, you know, it's kind of kayfabe, you know, because we don't know how long this match is going to be. So the network is giving us some extra time. But all that extra bull crap was stuff that, you know, in real life, the producer in the truck would be like, okay, we're match is over, boom, you know, we're out.
Yeah, no, I in this case, it probably could have been trimmed down.
Yeah, and you could have worked that, you know, if you reworked the show a little bit, you could have got the Swerve Strickland stuff earlier, like maybe right before
they
the
were trying
event.
To tell a lot of stories all at one time.
Right, within the 7-minute overrun. Yeah. So I think that was a little bit too much. But again, if I watched another episode and it's a match that goes over, I, you know, I'm guessing I would be more okay with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. So let's talk about All in Texas, which
yes, feel free. Again, those are most of my thoughts from just watching one episode. And again, I didn't watch All in Texas, but I know generally what happened. I looked into what happened.
Yeah, so that took place July 12th, and from what they said, that you know they were very much, you know, praising and kind of bragging about how it went for them. It was you know, the according to them, the biggest gate in company's history.
Okay. Let me ask you: you did not watch it all together, right? Because it's 6 hours.
I actually did. Yeah.
Did you watch?
So actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to tell you about the Dynamite show. So I watched Dynamite through Sling, and so as a result, I kind of watch it. Sometimes I watch it live when it happens. Most of the time I watch it like little bits at a time throughout the week. So the overrun to me, like a lot of times I don't even notice it, you know, but like when you bring it up the way you did, I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I'm watching a 2 hour chunk where again, that overrun to you might be just a part of the last 15 minutes that you're watching or something.
So actually I lied. I did not watch All in Texas all at once because so usually I will watch their pay-per-views all at one time. Mm-hmm. I was actually at a wedding that day because it was a Saturday and I was very much busy with the wedding. So I bought the pay-per-view and then I could watch the replay on Amazon. So I actually watched it in parts. Most of the time, like I said, I will watch it in full. But yes, it's very long and you know, you either like that or you don't. But I did not watch the pre-show. There were the 0 hour, the All in Texas.
Okay, and the 0 hour is part of that entire 6 hours, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, well, that's a little bit, but still, I don't know. I think to me, if you're more than three and a half hours, that's probably 2 days. Make it a 2 day event.
Yeah.
Or have a special collision the night before with the leftover stuff.
No, yeah, that's fair for sure. The first, like, so I won't go over the 0 hour. There was an two 8-man tags in the 0 hour, and then a tag team match, FTR against the Outrunners, which apparently the FTR and the Outrunners had a really good match on Collision before this. So, the first match of the night was the Trios World Championship, the Ops of Shibata, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Samoa Joe against Death Riders, Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, and Gabe Kidd. The Ops would retain here and defeat them, and you know that match was I want to say about maybe 3 stars or so, and that match went about 14 minutes 10 seconds. The second match was the Men's Casino Gauntlet match, and so for those who don't know, the Casino Gauntlet structure is that you want to have the first two spots because you could technically pin your opponent right away and end the match before anybody's allowed out, and people come out at random times. There is no rhyme or reason to when they come out.
Two questions on that. One, has it ever happened where someone has ended with the first two guys?
Not that I recall.
Does every guy always get to come out?
From what I remember, I think it's almost like, I don't want to say infinite, but like the longer the match, I think it does stop. I don't know the exact number. It seems like it just seems like it keeps going.
Like, right, because I looked and it seemed like 12 guys and girls were like involved before it ended. So to me, that seems like I think you should have one where it ends with the first two people because that would be unexpected.
I agree. I hope that they do that.
Yeah. And then I don't like that it's random intervals because, again, that goes back to the scripted thing to me. Because it's like, okay, they did the spot I was waiting on, so now I'm going to come out. I mean, how can you really build structure unless it's something like a Royal Rumble where it's 90 seconds or 2 minutes? Or
that's probably why they don't do it that way.
Yeah, or War Games, which is the same way. So I don't know. If it's random, how's it random? You know, like that just doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to me. Again, it feels like we're scripting spots. We're not logically booking a match.
Right. Well, MJF won that one by pinning.
And he started. So, right? Yeah, because him and Mark Briscoe were 1 and 2. So he started, yes.
And so that means that MJF has a future title shot.
Yeah.
The next match was the four-way for the TNT Championship. So the background here is that Adam Cole had to relinquish the title He was supposed to face Kyle Fletcher in a one-on-one match, but Adam Cole, I think I heard that he has concussion issues. I really feel bad for Adam Cole. He has had a rough go of it. You know, he and Britt Baker are not a thing anymore. He's had multiple injuries. And this one, I think what I heard was at the last minute, they talked him some. What I heard was they kind of cooler heads prevailed from having him outright retire.
And I had heard rumors that they were talking about retirement and decided not to go that route.
Yeah.
I've also seen he was never a big dude, but he seems very thin.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was part of the health issues, but when I saw him in the ring talking, I was like, oh gosh, he looks like a, you know, like a kid, like a skinny teenager. He looked
yeah, he does. Yeah. Yeah. And so I, you know, similar to Bryan Danielson and Edge before him, we don't know what's going to happen there. And I, you know, hopefully hope for the best, but it turned into a four-way with Dustin Rhodes, Daniel Garcia, Kyle Fletcher, and Sammy Guevara. And Dustin Rhodes wins his first mainstream title in AEW. He was ROH tag champs already, but winning it in Texas. I kind of thought when they had to do the audible of the match and I saw that Dustin was in it, I thought to myself it would be cool to give him this moment, and sure enough.
Right. If you've got to do a switch like that, I think the thing that makes the most sense is, well, what can we do to make the crowd happy? And again, in Texas, a veteran like Dustin, like that seems like, if you're going to call that kind of audible, I would agree that's a good audible.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I would probably give the Men's Casino Gauntlet match about 3.25 stars. I'd give this four-way about the same, maybe 3.25 okay. stars. After this, we have the a tag team match, Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay against the Young Bucks. The stipulation is here that the Young Bucks, if they lose, were stripped of their EVP titles. And if Ospreay and Strickland lose, they can't challenge for the world title for a year. This was one of the better matches on the card, I would say. It was about a little north of 25 minutes and was very good. I would put it at about 4 stars or so.
Okay, and the Bucks did lose. So they're not EVPs anymore.
No, they are
within storyline. Within storyline.
Absolutely. So after this, we would have the Women's Casino Gauntlet match. This one, I don't know, maybe 2.5 stars. Athena would win. She has been the ROH Women's Champion forever. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was alluding to earlier when I said they are trying to push people a little bit. Athena has certainly earned this spot. They need more people to contend with a Toni Storm and a Mercedes Moné. And they have a lot of good, solid female wrestlers, but not all of them are on the level that they need to be to challenge for those titles. And I think Athena is there. There's a lot of free agents from the WWE cuts right now, so who knows who they'll sign. But yes, Athena would win that. After this, you'd have a three-way for the AEW World Tag Team Champions, the Hurt Syndicate of Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin, against Jet Speed of Kevin Knight and Speedball Mike Bailey, against the Patriarchy of Christian Cage and Nick Wayne. Hurt Syndicate would win here. They've been pretty dominant. This match was okay. Maybe 3 stars. I like Speedball Mike Bailey a lot. And the Christian Cage Nick Wayne thing has run its course now. Mm-hmm. They turned on Christian Cage, and they are certainly alluding to a reunion of Edge and, excuse me, Cope and Christian as a tag team, which everybody, I think, wants to see to a certain extent. So
yeah, give them a nostalgia run of 3 months or something. I think that's fine. And when I watched Dynamite, I will say I was disappointed that I didn't get to see more of the Hurt Syndicate or of the Patriarchy, because I've heard those have been good things. And on my episode, I didn't get a lot of that.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I don't watch Collision on a regular basis. I think a lot of the stuff that we don't see does get time on that one. But I think I have, because I just don't have time. Like, I think I have like over 40 episodes of Collision on my Sling DVR. So anyway, the next match, AEW Women's World Championship. Mercedes Moné has not lost in AEW. And I was really apprehensive about going into this because, in my opinion, it should have been her first loss, and it was. Toni Storm retained. Very good match. I would also rate it about 3.75 or 4 stars, about 24 minutes. I enjoyed it, and I think the right person won. Make Mercedes chase it a little bit before you just push her to that point. The second to last match, Kazuchika Okada against Kenny Omega. They unified two titles here, which I think was a good thing. The Continental Championship and the International Championship were united to create the Unified Championship, they're calling it.
Which doesn't make sense since they're still a world title.
Well, yeah. I don't know why. Calling it the Unified Championship is a weird choice. But
yeah, that's what I thought.
Okada, so obviously Okada won here. Obviously, these guys have a long history. They were never going to have a match that equaled what they did in New Japan. They're both a little bit older now. They both can still go in the ring. Kenny's had some health issues. I viewed this the same way I did Austin Rock 3 at WrestleMania 19, which I like that match a lot, by the way. And I like this match a lot, but that's kind of what you have here. You had two guys that just had that storied rivalry, and they had another match that was good. And that was about 30 minutes. And the main event was a Texas Death Match for the AEW World Championship at Hangman Adam Page against Jon Moxley, 35 minutes, 55 seconds. This match was crazy. And this is, some people won't like all the blood. And man, we've made jokes about it here in the past about Moxley bleeding. And they do a hard way on him like a minute into the match with a fork. Like, I mean, and it is just, it's, this match is crazy. I loved it. And I think the swearing of Toni Storm, the blood that they do is two of the things that set AEW apart, for better or worse.
Sure.
And so Hangman Adam Page won. The Death Riders storyline has run its course. A lot of people hate it. I didn't hate it. I think that, I guess I was expecting it to go to different avenues. But I think Moxley has had the title for a while. Time for somebody new to have it. And this made sense. This is their WrestleMania, so to speak. And it was a logical place for somebody new to have the title. So all in all, I thought it was a very good event. It was long, though. And I agree that when if they're going to get to these types of 5, 6 hour shows, I agree that they need to either cut some of the matches or they need to split it into two nights, because they very much want to, like, oh, we want to get everybody we can on the card. That's type the mindset, clearly. And I think that they need to watch, how much they flirt with that long running time. Overall, I think AEW is in a pretty stable position right now. They're getting solid viewership every week, and I think that despite WWE running shows absolutely intentionally against them, like this is like old school shit, Leonard.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what they did back in to JCP.
And that's what's happening right now. But I think that they're in a stable position. I really do. I think that they have a different product, and I'm not gonna. This is what I watch. I don't usually watch WWE stuff except for on social media. But I still like what they're doing. There are things I don't like, some of which Leonard mentioned. The queue, like when people are kind of waiting for their queue. Some matches, I really notice that a lot. And like if somebody messes up, like the person still is kind of waiting for their queue. And it's like those types of things, you need to have somebody that can refine that and mold that a little bit, so
And
that
they do have
there's
guys like Samoa Joe and Christian, and I think people who could teach the younger guys how to do that if they're allowed to do that.
Since
You want to throw on trivia real quick
yeah,
before we
let's
get
do
out?
A quick trivia for sure.
All right. So again, we are doing the third edition of the World Wrestling Federation Attitude and Review game. Chad, your questions. What is the Undertaker's younger brother's name? Kayfabe, of course.
Glenn Jacobs, that would be Kane.
Kane. Where does the Undertaker hail from?
Death Valley.
Death Valley. And what was the name of Paul Bearer's interview show?
Funeral parlor.
The Funeral Parlor. You got all those correct. Here's my card. What was the site of SummerSlam 92? Well, that would be Wembley Stadium in England. Who defeated the Ultimate Warrior for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania 5? That would be Rick Rude, who he would win it back off of Rude before WrestleMania 6. From where do the Hardy Boys hail from? They're from North Carolina, and I believe it's Cameron, North Carolina, because I have a nephew named Cameron. And because of the Hardy compound stuff, I think this is more known today.
Yeah.
So I was correct. I was correct on all three. There you go.
That's good. I knew it was North Carolina.
Cameron, I remember because I have a nephew, Cameron. That sticks in my head. My celebrity of the week was Chris Jericho. I forgot. Yours was K-Quick.
Awesome.
Who is R-Truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes,
if you forgot that. There you go.
All right. Well, check out our other episodes as well. Segment Surgery, Random Match Reviews, What's That Card? We're available wherever you listen to podcasts. Hit the like button. Subscribe to our content. Give us a comment. Let us know what you think of AEW, what you thought of the shows that we mentioned, where you think the company is heading. For Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next time.